If you make decisions about your retirement money, you might want to pay attention to a big shift that begins today. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. In a few hours, the U.S. Department of Labor is set to release the first set of a new set of rules governing stockbrokers and other managers of money. Until now, brokers have been looking out for number one, but the question sometimes is, who is number one, the broker or you, the client? Financial advisors to whom you pay an ongoing fee are supposed to put the client's needs first. They're a bit like a lawyer or a sports agent on retainer. Broker-dealers who make more or less money depending on which investments you choose are more like the person working on commission who helps you buy a suit or a dress. They want you to look good, but from their perspective, it's nice if you pay more. Jerry Lombard is president of the investment company Janney Montgomery Scott's Private Client Group. The wider firm, like many, provides both services, a registered financial advisor if you want, and can afford one, or broker-dealers. Lombard is deeply skeptical about the new rules on the way.
Many clients have said, you know what, I like working with you and paying as I go whenever I make a transaction. Or I don't mind that my compensation back to you is built into the trail payment that the mutual fund company pays you. And now this government rule is going to say, no, you can't do that unless you sign this contract and broker-dealer be bound by all the rules and reports and red tape and liability that are associated with it. But the client, in a practical sense, is going, I don't want to pay you that way. I like the way I've been paying you.
Lombard says his firm will probably shift all their operations to the annual fee-based model and stay away from using the new contract. He says he's worried about onerous reporting and other requirements that could scare off clients.
There's great car dealers and there's the shady car dealers. There's great docs, there's great lawyers, and there's shady docs and shady lawyers. I think the best case of, quote, a registered investment advisor, a fee-based fiduciary, taking advantage of their clients was Bernie Madoff.
For more, let's turn to Kurt Schacht, who supports this new client-comes-first standard for people managing money. Note that he's the managing director at the CFA Institute, which charters financial advisors. He also chairs the Securities and Exchange Commission's Investor Advisory Committee. Kurt, thanks for doing this.
Thank you, David. Nice to be here.
Help me understand this. I mean, we've been talking about versions of this for years. There is a distinction between a certified financial advisor, sometimes called, sorry to use the term, fiduciary, and distinct from a broker who's not a fiduciary, right?
The primary difference is, so if you look at the typical broker that operates under a standard of suitability, and I guess the best simple way to describe that is it's a salesperson standard. They can sell you something as long as it's generally suitable for your financial circumstances. And I think we all know, all of us, what a salesperson's motivation is.
Well, so, when you go in to buy a car, I mean, the car salesman, they're not just working on your behalf. They're working to sell a car.
They are indeed. So that's one piece of it. The other piece of it is if you were a true regulated financial advisor, you have a much higher legal duty of care to the investor. So the new DOL rule is similar to the fiduciary duty rule, where the broker has to act in the customer's best interest.
Now, certified financial advisors that are already supposed to be working in the best interests of the client, often you need more money to be able to use their services. You may need six figures that you've saved. Sometimes that's a tough hurdle for working Americans.
I think that's one of the concerns that you're hearing from observers of this proposal, that it will drive – it will start to reduce the services that are available to smaller customers because brokers will be forced to cut out some of the smaller accounts. I think we sort of have to wait and see whether that's the case. I don't think this rule is either going to be as bad or as good as either side of this discussion has been saying. I think it still leaves some serious confusion around this new standard. It's not full fiduciary and it's not suitability. It's something in between. You still have to be very alert to the fact that the broker-dealer will have you sign a contract that puts you on notice, that they can sell you products that are still not necessarily in your best interest, and they may be conflicted. They may be products that are of higher cost. They may be products that are being promoted by the broker-dealer's firm and so forth. So you still have to be on guard, but they have to tell you much more about it, and they have to be much clearer in terms of how they do that.
Kurt Schacht is managing director at the CFA Institute, which charters financial analysts. Mr. Schacht, thank you for this.
Thank you, David, very much.
We've been following the Treasury Department's new rules this week aimed at stopping big U.S. companies from merging with overseas competitors in order to avoid paying higher U.S. corporate taxes. These are called inversions. Now, just 2 days after the rules were unveiled, there are reports today that Pfizer's planned $150 billion takeover of Allergan may be off. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
Numerous news sources today report the planned merger is off because it simply didn't pencil out as profitable anymore once the Treasury's new rules aimed at stopping these inversions were factored in. So the new rules would make it much harder for foreign companies that have previously done inversions with U.S. companies to do new ones. And Treasury would also dramatically curtail a corporate accounting dodge called earnings stripping. This is when the U.S. subsidiary borrows money from the foreign parent after the inversion to lower its U.S. tax bill even more. Treasury officials said they weren't targeting any particular inversion with the new regs, but White House spokesman Josh Earnest did say the administration would be pleased if ones driven solely by the pursuit of lower tax payments to the U.S. didn't go through. The administration wants Congress to change the M&A laws to block these inversions, but Congress is stalemated on the issue.
All right, it's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, and in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.